We are holding first test number Aleph 10-1. Okay, we discussed, we discussed in the Mishnah that one of the types, there are two types of a bunch of types of animals that you can't put in as korbanos. Two of them involve Avodah Zarah. We said they're Muktzeh and Ne'avad. Muktzeh, where they designated it to be used as a korban for Avodah Zarah, and Ne'avad, where they actually worship the animal itself as Avodah Zarah. So let's talk about Muktzeh, where they designated it as a korban for Avodah Zarah. But the thing is that it's a given. On the face of it, you can't say that just designating it verbally as Muktzeh should already make it Osir, because there's a concept called Ein Hekdesh Shlavah Dezara. When it comes to Hashem, Lahavdil, we would say, you say that this object is Hekdesh, then it becomes Hekdesh. But you don't have a parallel to that in Avodah Zarah. There has to be something done. So,
what's the rule?
It's called Ein Hekdesh Shlavah Dezara. So, Omar Rav Barav Ada of Tessimah. No, there can be Avodah Zarah without Maita. A person says Keliata to an object and he's Chayav Stila for that. There's no Maita involved. So Omar Rava Barav Ada Omar Rav Yitzchak, Ein Mukta Osir Ela Ad Sheyavdu. Mukta is Osir only until they worship it. Now, what does that mean? Rashi gives two explanations. One is that they have to actually do something with it for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. Rashi gives an example. Let's say they have it pull a wagon, but it doesn't just become osur by saying that it's designated for Avodah Zarah. That's Rashi's first explanation. The second explanation in Rashi is that it's osur as mukta only until they do some kind of avodah, some kind of service with it, as we're going to give examples for the purposes or the needs of the priests of the Avodah Zarah. Once they do that kind of avodah, then Rashi says, then it's not osur anymore, because then once they use it for some kind of avodah, then they're not going to bring it to the korban anymore. So in other words, the two explanations in Rashi, and Rashi says he prefers the second explanation. So the first explanation is that we're saying, at what point does it become mukta once they did some kind of avoider with it? And according to the second explanation, just the opposite. No, not words. Avoider mean they did something. For example, they made it pull a wagon.
You can do Avodah Zarah just with words.
To actually worship Avodah Zarah, to actually accept Avodah Zarah, a person can just do verbally. Here we're talking about an animal of mukta. How does an animal become mukta? According to Rashi's first explanation, what the Gemara is asking is, what needs to be done to that animal to make it be considered mukta? It's not just enough to say verbally, this is being designated as a korban to Avodah Zarah. They actually have to do something with it, have it do some kind of work in honor of Avodah Zarah, or some kind of Dvar Isser or something. Without that, it wouldn't become usher. And the second explanation would be the other way around. That once the priests use it for some mundane purpose, then they're not going to bring it as a korban anymore, so it's only mukta up to that point. You have a similar machlokas between the Rambam and the Raivad. The Rambam takes Rashi's first explanation, and the Raivad does something closer to Rashi's second explanation. Okay.
And if you have a suffix.
What do you mean if you have a suffix?
If you don't know, you haven't seen them.
So in that case, then I guess it would be, it's a suffix. You shouldn't bring it as a korban, but maybe the diavad. If you did, it would be acceptable. I don't know. In general, suffix are right for the former. Okay. So that's one. So that's what we're saying. Ela ad sheyavdu, until they work with it. Again, meaning once they work with it, it becomes osir. Or the opposite, once they work with it, then it becomes no longer osir. Ula amar Rav Yechanan ad sheim siru l'koyim rabar shechavim. Ula says in the name of Rav Yechanan that once they give it to the priests. So again, according to the first explanation, we're saying Ula is being machner. It doesn't even have to be that the priests actually do some work with it, L'shem Avodah Zarah. Just handing it over to them is already enough to make it mukta. According to the second explanation, the other way around. It doesn't even have to be that the priests did some kind of work with it. Once you gave it to them, where they're going to shecht it and eat it for themselves, then it's no longer considered mukta.
It's
not being used for Avodah Zarah anymore, right?
So how come it's two opinions of Ula?
I only see one. You have Rabbi. We had Rav Ada Bar Ava Amar Rav Yitzchak, and now we have Ula Amar Rav Yitzchak. Within the whole sugya over here, you have two explanations in Rashi. when Rabbi Bar Rav Ada said Ela Achiya Avdu, what does that mean? Is that when it becomes also or when it becomes no longer also? So by the same token, when we're trying to understand what Ola is saying also, there's two ways of understanding what Ola meant. Baha Omer Rav Yechon, and then we have another opinion, Baha, that was his name, says in the name of Rav Yechon, Ad Shiachilu Kashini Avodah Shechavim. It has to be that they feed it beans, kashinim, or a type of beans that they usually use for animal food, of Avodah Zarah. So again, according to the first explanation, it would be that, he'd be the most makel, that it's not enough that they're not really makel, whatever. He'd be saying, in other words, that only if they actually fed it beans that were designated for Avodah Zarah, only then would it be considered mokel. And according to the second explanation, the other way around. Once they start fattening it up and feeding it tashinim, it means they're not planning to bring it as a korban anymore at that point. They plan to use it as food for the priests, and therefore it's no longer awesome. Okay. Omelet of Abba Labaha, so Rab Abba asks Baha, Mifligitu Atuna Ula. We had Ula telling us that once they give it to the priest, then it becomes Mukhtar, it becomes no longer Mukhtar, according to the two explanations. Baha is saying once they feed it the beans, so he asks Baha, are you arguing with Ula? You're both saying in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, and did you actually, each one of you, hear a different thing from Rabbi Yechanan or construe what Rabbi Yechanan is saying to be that? Amalei, the Baha answers, look, Ula also, Kika Amar, when he says that they gave it over to the priest, he doesn't just mean that they gave it over like a person who took the animal and gave it to the priest and said, here. It means that actually, it means that Ula is also saying that they fed it, that they fed it with beans of Avodah Zarah. So in other words, there's only two opinions of it here. One is Sheyavdu, and the other is when they give it over to the priests, who then go and feed it with Tashini. And again, within each of those two explanations, you have the two explanations of Rashi, which again, Rashi prefers the second explanation, and the Raivit also does, that it means once they do these things, then it's no longer Muktzeh. Because then it shows they're not planning to use it for Avodah Zarah anymore, now it shows they plan to use it just for the priests, yeah. As opposed to Rashi's first explanation, which is what the Rambam accepts, would be that these are the points at which it becomes also as Muktzeh. Very relevant, by the way, those of us who are learning Shlosha Prakim, this is the topic nowadays, is those who are doing Sefer HaMitzvot, also now is all the mitzvot about Avodah Zarah. Okay. Yeah, okay. All right. Amar Rav Abba, so Rav Abba was impressed by that answer. He says, Yada Baha L'Shanuya Shmaitza. Look at that. Baha, my way, Shittim Kibetzis changes it throughout the whole sugi, changes the name, not Baha, but Bosa. Okay, you know, the different gifts in manuscripts or whatever, or what his name was. Anyway, sort of, I believe this is the only place in Shas he's mentioned. We know the famous thing, I've mentioned it many times before, that the Rogachev famously said every genuine Masechta of Shas, as opposed to the forged Yerushalmi that came out in his time, every real Masechta in Bavli and Yerushalmi has at least one Tana or Amora who's not mentioned in any other Masechta. This, I guess, is the one for Masechta Shmura, yeah. So that's how when this guy 100 years ago, Shlomo Friedlander, Shlomo Al-Ghazi, whatever he called himself, came out with what he claimed was the Yerushalmi Ankodshim that he found in the manuscript. One thing is, the Rogachev looked it over, noticed that there were no other names of Amoroyim or Tanoim who are not mentioned anywhere else, and on that basis he said it's got to be a forgery. And he wasn't the only one, of course. There were a number of Rabbanim. Because the guy wanted to become famous, that he discovered this. There was the Rambam writes in his Akdama to Pirush HaMishnayos, the Yerushalmi on five Sdorim, implying that the Rambam in his time knew of a Yerushalmi on Kodshin, but we don't have it, not a single word of it. So this guy came up with something that basically what he did is he took various sugyas in other places in the Yerushalmi and the Bavli and wrote them kind of in a Yerushalmi style, but whatever. So some Rabbanim at the beginning were taken in by it and thought that it's the real thing, but yeah, it was a whole. Yeah, indeed. Okay. Anyway. So, Amar Abba, Yoda Baha L'Shanuya Shmaita, look at that. We say Baha knew how to answer the statement, to say that he's not a different opinion than Ula, but to say that what Ula said is the same as he said. But you should know, L'Shanuya, to answer, to reconcile. to reconcile his and Ula's statement. The Eloi just solely calls them, but Rav Abba says, you should know what gave him the ability to do that. If he had not gone up there, meaning to Eretz Yisrael, Loi Hava Yoda, he wouldn't have known this. The Eretz Yisrael Gormalei, the source of Eretz Yisrael, was what helped him to be able to do to figure this out. Because we know the famous expression, Avira Eretz Yisrael Machdim. The air of Eretz Yisrael makes a person wise. For the time being, Machda Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Omalei Rav Yitzchak, but Rav Yitzchak says to Abba, actually, Rav Yitzchak says it's not that once he came into Eretz Yisrael he figured this out. Actually, Baha Mikana Mikana Abba. You should know actually that Baha is from both places. He was from Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. In other words, I guess he traveled back and forth, I guess, or whatever. So therefore, it's not like he first came to Eretz Yisrael and then he became wise. He went back and he was already a distinguished Talmud Chacham in Bavel. So the source of Eretz Yisrael didn't. No, this is long after. This is already after the second korban.
Are we saying Israel didn't count?
Yeah, that's Tosafot said. That's what Rabbi Yitzchak is telling him, that you should know that in his particular case, the course of Eretz Yisrael didn't help. He was already a distinguished Talmud Chacham before that. Okay. We see that Rav Hananya Tritah taught a braisa in front of Rav Yechanan.
That's another one that's not mentioned anywhere in Shas.
Could be. I haven't looked him up, but could be. Ein mukta also elad shiyasuboy maisa. Mukta, this animal of mukta, is also only when they do some kind of maisa with it. And who tani la v'hadu amala, and Rav Hananya Tritah taught the braisa, and then he also explained what does it mean, what kind of maisa. My maisa actually gozes v'yavdu, right? It means when they shear it or they do work with it. So that's more similar to what Rav Yitzchak had said before. Again, we have the two explanations. Does it mean that they shear it or do some kind of work with it as a symbolic thing? Now it's dedicated to Avodah Zarah, and therefore now at that point it becomes mukta. Or is it the other way around? Once they shear it or they work with it, they're demonstrating by that they don't plan to use it as a carbon anymore.
Let's see, here it goes. Burnt Avodah Zarah.
No, obviously, if you have, I mean, different Avodah Zarahs have different rituals, I guess. But there's like, I guess, some fairly general way of doing things that they did. I mean, you know, you also have to realize that there's Avodah Zarah all over the world. I mean, the Gemara is not talking about over here, let's say, what would have been the Avodah Zarah rituals, let's say, of the American Indians. They're not going to know about them, you know. We're talking about the rituals that would have been among the local Goyim, the Greeks, the Romans, the Babylonians, the Persians, whatever, you know. So the Pashtus, they had some kind of regular thing that once they, if they, you know, either that, according to the two explanations in Rashi, either that they would have to shear the animal and that shearing would designate that now it officially belongs to this getchka and we're going to bring it as a carbon, or the other way around, we're going to shear it and that means we don't plan to bring it as a carbon anymore, we're making it the property of the galochim and they can do with it what they want. Well, that's the question. You know, do they maybe have this big deal? Maybe they have that they're only going to bring it as a carbon if it has all its wool. Maybe if they shear off the wool, then they're going to.
Or lost it.
Yeah, that basically that's the true. That's the true.
Depends on the medical
right. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay, so that's more. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah, Ezehu Nevad. Then we said the next case is you have a Nevad, is Osir, is bringing the carbon. We said Nevad is where the animal itself was actually worshipped as an Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, where do we know that from, that such an animal should be Osir for a carbon? Amr Papa, like this, the Amr Kromi Mashke Yisrael, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk in Yechezkel, that you have that the Karbonis come Mimashke Yisrael, literally it means from the drinks of the Jewish people, but throughout Shas, we always use that to mean that means Minam Mutter the Yisrael. Karbonis can only be brought from things that are mutter for Jewish people to eat and drink. Anything that's also to eat is also to bring as a carbon. For example, from there we learn that you can't use wine of Orlo, Kalaya Kerem, or whatever. Now the point is, the Mishnah had said that Mukta and Nevar are Mutter for a Hedya. So that's actually the key thing. We're not focusing on how we know that you're not allowed to bring Nevar as a carbon. Fine, you could say it's an obvious thing. It's most the Gavoya. It's disgusting to bring such a thing to Hashem. But the question is, how do we know that Nevar is Mutter for a Hedya? And we know that that's, and we know that that's the case. Because again, an animal, there's no tricep idem in it. It's in its original natural state. So therefore, it's not gonna be altered. A person would be allowed to check it and eat it. But how do we know? How do we know?
If that's the case, why Hashem asked Shmuel to tell to destroy all of the?
Because the things about Molech is different. The Timkas Zecher Molech. You want to wipe out every memory. You want to wipe out every remembrance of a Molech. As Rashi says on the pasuk over there, you don't want that there should be an ox or a sheep or whatever around that somebody could point to and say, hey, that came from a Molech. But that's a special case.
It has nothing to do with
that. Nothing to do with that. As a matter of fact, I mean, actually, we know famously that Shaul made a mistake and thought he should keep some of the animals alive to bring as carbonus. If they'd been used for Avodah Zarah, he would have known. No, it proves, you know, it was obviously not all their animals were Nevad, but yet they had to be destroyed, even though they weren't Nevad, because they belonged to Amalek, that's a special case.
Okay.
So, yes, it's a special din that applies to Amalek. Not Hadas Shaul, per se, it's a din that applies as part of the mitzvah of Timchas Zecher Amalek, because you have to wipe out everything of this. Okay. Now, so Rapapa says, okay, so you have a pasuk that says that korbanos have to come from things that are mutter for Jewish people to eat. And one of the things that we exclude from that is nevad. So the isak da'at hasidu lehedyot, if you were going to say that mukta and nevad are also to a hedyot, lomalikra, then why would we need, we had before psukim, we had minat bakar and minat soin, we said that we, from there we learned that nevad and mukta are also, if they were also for a hedyot to eat as well, lomalikra, then why do I need a different pasuk to tell us that they're also for korban? Previously, I'm dachofet. We said minat bakar, minat behema, minat bakar, or minat soin, yeah, we said over there that we're excluding over there nevad and mukta. So if they were also to a hedyot, you wouldn't need those psukim, because obviously, so obviously what it must be is psukim are needed in order to tell us that you can't bring them as korbanos, but implying that you could use them for hedyot purposes. Therefore, you need, so they are mutter for Jewish people to eat. From the point of view of mimashke Yisrael, they would be mutter. Therefore, you need the psukim. And I'm a hedyot, and I'm a bakar, and I'm trying to tell us that you can't use them as korbanos.
Something that became something that was for
Getchka, yes, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. If you have, in other words, now we have like this. First of all, I mean, when you have, because you have a concept, which we learned in Avodah Zarah, it's a pasuk in next week's parasha that says you have to destroy Elikeyem Alahorim, you have to destroy the Goyim's idols and gods and whatever that are on the mountains. And from that we learn the mountains themselves do not become also even if they worship them. And from that we learn a general concept that anything where there's no tfitha sidei adam, anything where there was no human involvement in making it come into existence, cannot become also as Avodah Zarah. So as a carbon. But you would let me, once it was offered to Avodah Zarah, right, once it was shechted, it's also Bahana as to Kurevis Avodah Zarah. But we're talking about over here Mukta or Neva, where it was designated to bring as a Korban to Avodah Zarah, or where it itself was worshipped as Avodah Zarah, but it's still in its original state. Nothing's been done with it to make it any different than it was originally. Yeah. Okay.
So let's say, like, the count they had in India would be able to shed them and eat them?
The Pashtas, yeah. They'd be either Mukta or Neva. Probably Neva, I guess, because they worship them themselves.
Okay.
Yeah. So once they're shechted for Avodah Zarah, yeah, they'd be called Zivchei Mesim, they're also Bahana. But as long as they're alive, there's no Tfitha Sidei Adam, and then, yeah, the Pashtas would be able to shecht them. Okay. So we want to ask, B'chol Heicha Da'asidu LaHedyot LaBoi Kra. So are you telling me that anytime something is also for a Hedyot, then I don't need a Pasuk to tell us that it can't be brought as a carbon? V'ha'Treifa Da'asidu LaHedyot U'mate Kra Migavoya. Consider the case, though, of an animal that's Treifa, which already is also for a Hedyot to eat, and yet we need a pasuk to tell us that you can't bring it as a korban. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa. Now, yesterday we talked about that we have the pasuk at the beginning of Parashas Vayikra that says, Odom ki yakum mitem korban lashem, min ha behebam, min ha bakar, min ha tzayin, and we said from each of those means we're learning a miut, which include, right. But then on top of that, the Braisa says, ki oim min ha bakar lamata, the next pasuk continues, im oila korbanay min ha bakar, and again, the word min over there is extra. So what is that coming to teach us? Shein Tamud Loma, I didn't need to say, Ela Mahoitiyat HaTreifa, so it comes to exclude a Treifa. Now, if you're telling me the general rule is anything that's not Mimashki Yisrael, you can't bring as a korban, and I don't need a special limud in the pasuk for it, so why do we need a special limud for Treifa? You can't eat a Treifa anyway.
Mimashki Yisrael, what's that expression?
Mimashi Yisrael, we said, means literally of the drinks of the Jewish people. It means that you can only bring as karbanas things that can be drunk or eaten by the Jewish people. So only things that are kosher. You can't use a teresa, we're saying over here, but you also can't use orlo or kalaya kerem or shara niskol or any of the other types of tzolim, because they're not mimashi Yisrael. But
so he would not know, even though he's not allowed to use things you can bring as a carbon?
That's the question. Why do we need a pasuk? Why do we need min habakar to tell us that you can't bring a teresa as a carbon? It should automatically be excluded on the grounds of mimashi Yisrael. And if we see that we have a pasuk min habakar, then we should say the same thing applies to, then we could argue the same thing maybe applies to mukta and neva. Maybe they are also to a hegit. In other words, they're not mimashi Yisrael. And we still need to tell them that they're also to the mizeah. The answer is istrich. No, but in the case of a tshefa, we need a pasuk because sakudat hamina. Because you would think otherwise, you would say hani milud nitrufa va'achakach miskadsha. Sure, if the animal was tshefa to begin with before you were ever makdish it, sure, then you can't bring it as a carbon. Because then when you designate it as a carbon, it was already not mimashki yisrael. It was already also to eat. Avol miskadsha va'achakach nitrufa. But if you were first makdish it and later on it became tshefa, ema de tishri lagavaya. Maybe you would think it should actually be mutter to bring as a carbon, because after all, consider what are we learning from Mimashki Yisrael? We're excluding things like Orla and Kilaya Kerem, where they started out being mutter, as opposed to over here, it only became a teresa after the fact, later on after you mastered it. So maybe therefore you could argue that. So maybe therefore you could argue it should be mutter for a carbon, and that's why we need Minabakar to tell us that not.
Yeah, Minabakar tells us that.
That of Terefa, you can't bring it as a carbon, even if it became Terefa after you were mastership. Yeah. Mina Baka means some of the cattle, in other words, not all of them. There's an exception among the cattle.
So we need both.
In other words, we need Mimashki Yisrael to cover the case where the animal was Terefa before you were mastership, and we need Mina Baka to cover the case where it became Terefa after you were mastership. Because that can't be covered under Mimashki Yisrael, because at the time you were mastership, it was Mutter Tee.
On the other hand, A regular person, even animal.
Yeah.
So you have to have a pasuk telling you that even if it's treif now, you can't.
Yeah. So once it says a boss of a sort of treif, like the chayla, we understand it doesn't matter. And the point is, when you shechted it, it was a treif, but you wouldn't know from that in and of itself that it should be also to the mizbeach, because after all, you were marked the shechet when it was still intact. Okay.
So that's why you need both.
Okay, so the question is, v'hom ha'chon nafka. So you're telling me that you're learning that a tshefa you can't bring as a carbon from the words min ha'bokar? Kol ha'sheyavet, we learn it from a different passage. Kol ha'sheyavet tachas ha'shavet.
It's a question.
And the question, actually, v'hom ha'chon nafka. But don't we learn it from this place? The passage says, kol ha'sheyavet tachas ha'shavet. All animals that pass under the stick, meaning that you count them and then you mark every 10th one as ma'aseh. But from that we also learn, tach ha'tshefa she'en eiveres. That a tshefa is excluded because it can't pass through. Rashi explains here, and in a few other sugyas where we have this limud, that most recently at the end of Bechoros, that the point is you can have one of the types of tshefas is where an animal's legs were chopped off above the knee, and that can't pass through. So once we have that kind is excluded, so are all other kinds of tshefas. So therefore, from that alone, we know therefore, and now there you have that, so you know from there, therefore, that you can't bring as a carbon. The answer is ahunami, it's fine, but even then, we still need all the psukim. Because otherwise, you would think, because you could argue, when would you say that you can't be makdish a tshefa and you can't bring it as a carbon where it never had a shasa kosher? You know the tshefa mime'e ima, where it was born already with a tshefa. Avol heichad, and that would be excluded under min habakar. Avol heichad ha'hoisel a shasa kosher, but where it had a shasa kosher, v'yotif la'avra olam, it came out into the world, came out of the womb, v'achazach nitrifa, and only later on it became tshefa. Ema tishri lagavaya, maybe that should be mutter, kamash malan, so that's why we need. So we have, in other words, that's why we, so again, we have Erla never had a shasa kosher, and we're learning from Mashke Yisrael that you can't use Erla, for example, so therefore, so Mashke Yisrael would teach us the case where it was born a tshefa.
Never had a shasa kosher.
So then, with a shasa kosher, you would think yes, and therefore you need kol ha'sheyavet to tell us that not. And min habakar is another case where it only became tshefa after you actually makdish it. So you need all three. Mimashki Yisrael, where it was born a tshefa.
Four and one
Right. My Maskei Torah, where it was born a Terefa, Kol Asher Yaver, where it was a Terefa before you were Maskeshet, but not congenitally, and Minat Bakar, where it became Terefa after you were Maskeshet. So all three are excluded from being as a carbon. But the point is, that's all as far as Terefa. In general, with other kinds of Isurim, you don't have that kind of distinction, that you would have to distinguish between before and after you were Maskeshet. So therefore, we have a pasuk that teaches us that. So therefore, if we have Mimashke Yisrael, tells us therefore that then automatically we know that the Mukta and we also have Sukkim tell us that the Mukta and Neva are also automatically that must mean that they're Mutzel the Hedya, which is what we were out to prove over here. Okay. Mishnah says, Ve'ezehu Esna. Now let's start defining. We said in the Mishnah we have Esna and Zoyna and Mechir Teller. So the subject of our Mishnah and the Gemara on it is going to be to define exactly what is also an Esnan. So Esnan means a fee. So Esnan Zoyna means a fee that a person pays to a Zoyna, to have relations with her. So Ha'oimer lo Zoyna, Ha'oilich Tzlezeh Bissaret, or Elichi really, because it's supposed to be feminine, if a man says to a Zoyna, here, take this sheep as your fee for me having relations with you. Even if there's 100 of them, all of them are also to be brought as a carbon. And we'll see in the Gemara why it has to say even if there are 100. The same way, if Reuven says to Shimon, here, take this tleh, the tolen shikhascha etzel avdi, and have your shikha knanis stay overnight to have relations with my eved, and we'll see in the Gemara what exactly the scenario is. Reb Meir Omer Eina Esnan, okay, Rashi has the gear to take out the word Meir, so it's Rebbe Omer Eina Esnan, and in that case it's not called Esnan, for reasons that we'll see in the Gemara. V'chom Lem Esnan, and the Chacham say it.
I thought Esnan was after the relationship.
That's what we're going to discuss. So the Gemara starts, no, it can be either before or after, that's what we're going to see. Yeah. So Amamah, the Gemara says, we said in the Mishnah, V'afilu hein mea kolon asurin, we said even if there's 100 animals that were given as Esnan, they're all asurin. So the question is, Hechidami, what's the scenario? Ilema de shakwa agra mea behemoth, if the case is that her normal fee is that she demands 100 behemoths, well then obviously, if she did a kolon asurin, then obviously all of them are also as Esnan, mali chad mali mea. Who cares whether it's 1 or 100 animals, however many she demands and however many she gets, they're all like them.
She asks for 50 and you get 100.
The answer is, Lo tzricha de shakwa agra chada. The answer is, the chiddush of the Mishnah is, where she takes as her fee 1, the yahav la meya, and instead he gave her 100, so he gave her 99 voluntarily. So you could argue that maybe the other 99 are just a gift and have nothing to do with Esnan. No. No, we say all of them come from the force of the Esnan. All of them are included in the Esnan, and therefore all of them are also.
Even though she did not.
Even though she only asked, right. Rashi has a somewhat different here, sir, that let's say, for example, her normal fee is 2, but he says, I'm not willing to pay 2, I'm only willing to pay 1. And then in the end, he gives her 2 or 100 even. So therefore, the point is, in other words, so you could argue he was only willing originally to give 1. He said so in so many words. So you would think maybe only 1 should be also, and the chiddush is that it doesn't matter. Right? Tanan Abraham, we learn in a braisa. Nothan love like Ba'aleha, if he gave her the animal and he didn't have relations with her, or Ba'aleha like Nothan love, or he had relations with her, but he didn't give her anything. Esnan on mutter, then the Esnan is mutter. Now, obviously, we're gonna have to figure out what's going on over here. Ball level and not on them. What is there to be Esnan that we're talking about? So we're gonna have to figure out. First, let's quote the Braisa. Yeah. Nothan level. So the question is, Gemara says, what do you mean? Nothan level like ball level Esnan a car is like. And if he gave her something and didn't have relations with her yet, how could you call it Esnan? There was no being yet. Then hold on. The true Baal Avalai Nosama, and second of all, in the second case of the Braisa, if he's saying he had relations and didn't give her anything, Mayovla, well then what did he give her? What is there to talk about? It's not Esnan. What's the it that should be Esnan? He didn't give her anything.
Yahu is to give.
Ella Hochikotani. Now, what the Braisa means is as follows. Nosama Vachakach Ba'aleha, if he gave her, and later on he had relations with her, or he had relations with her and later on he gave her, either way, Esnan is mutter. Either way, the Esnan is mutter. So the question is, why should it be mutter? Mela, I can understand, for example, why shouldn't the animal still exists at the animal still exists at the time when he had relations with her. So it's one thing, Rashi says, it's one thing if you say you could say, okay, he didn't designate one particular sheep that he's going to give her. So later on he gave it to her, fine, you could say that could be considered a matana. There's no particular animal that was designated to be the esnan, to become ulcer. But if not the animal still exists when he has beer with her, why should it not be considered esnan at that point? The answer is, Amar Rav Elazar, shekodma v'hikrivatu. The case that we're talking about when we say that he had that he gave her and later on he had relations with her is suppose that she was makriv the animal as a korban before he had relations with her. So therefore, by the time she was makriv, she kodma. So that's in other words. So therefore, at the time of the bia, so he gave it to her on Sunday. She brought it as a korban on Monday, and on Tuesday he had bia with her. So by the time he does the bia, by the time he does the iser, the animal no longer exists. It's already gone. Yeah.
And when he gave it to her, wasn't nothing wrong yet.
Right, exactly, because there's no good. So the question is, hey, Shidami, okay, but what's the scenario? If you're telling me that when he gave it to her on Sunday, he said it's yours as of now, shit is a mutter, then of course it's mutter. Exactly, he only has relations with her on Tuesday, so no iser has been done yet till Tuesday. Obviously, there's no problem in being macro with it before that.
If you're saying this animal is for this purpose.
Yeah, because the fact is there's no bia yet. Okay, he's giving it to her for that purpose, but it's not like he hasn't yet done the issue. He might actually decide, he might actually do tshuva and decide not to do it. Yeah. Are you going to say that maybe he means I'm giving it to you now, but in effect it's only a pikodin by you until, and you're only going to require it at the time of bia? The question is, in that case, me makim a korban. How is she able to bring it as a korban then? How are we saying that in that case she should be able to bring it as a korban on Monday if she doesn't own it until Tuesday? After all, the pasuk says ish ki yakdish is beis kodesh l'Hashem amarachmana. The pasuk says the person is makdish as a house to Hashem, and from that we learn ma beisay b'rishusay akol b'rishusay. Just like a person's house belongs to him, so everything else that he wants to be makdish has to belong to him. So if it doesn't belong to her, how is she able to bring it as a curb?
Is there a problem with Isha?
No. The answer is, Lois Tricha, no, but the Chiddush, the case that we're talking about is, the Omalah, that he says to her like this, here's the deal. Basically, I only want you to require it when we actually have relations. But the imitzrichloch, but if you actually need it for a particular purpose, nikniloch ma'ashav, then fine, I'm going to let you acquire it as of now. So therefore, for whatever purpose. So therefore, fine. She needs it for a particular purpose. She has a korban to bring. So good. She goes and is masked with it on Monday because on the basis of that condition, because he said if you need it, then you can have it as of now. So on Monday, based on that tonight, it already belongs to her. Fine. By the time he comes on Tuesday and has beer with her, it's already gone. So that's the case that we were saying. That's going to be okay. That she was yotze. In other words, that she was yotze. There's a korban that she had to bring. We don't say that now the Mafreya it becomes a possible korban, and we should say therefore she wasn't yotze, so we don't say that. Okay. Boy Rav Oshia, and now Rav Oshia asks in that connection, what about Kodma Bishatuma? What about if she wasn't actually makruvit on Monday? What if she was only makdishit on Monday? She has this animal. She has this animal. The guy gave her on Sunday. So on Monday she says, you know what? I'm designating this as an oval. So she hasn't actually been matched with it yet. So what's the din? So the Gemara says, Tifshit Leimidu Rav Elazar. Shouldn't we be able to answer it on the basis of what Rav Elazar said? We just said, D'amar Rav Elazar, Kodma Rekrivatu. We said that when is the Braita saying that it's acceptable as a korban is if she went and was makruvit before he actually had relations with her. Implying, Hikrivatu he. We only say that it would be mutter if she was actually makruvit. D'halase b'shat bia, because after all, then we can say it no longer exists when he comes to do bia. Avalik Yishatu also, but implying, based on what Rav Elazar is saying, it seems to imply that if she was only Makdishit, that if she was only makdashit and it still exists at the time of the bia, apparently it would be also. Otherwise, why did Rabbi Elazar have to mention the case where hikri matu? He could have mentioned the case where hikri shatu, and we would understand a kavah chomer. Even hikri shatu, already it's mutter to bring as a korban at some later date. How much more so where she was actually makdashit it on Monday?
So you say it still exists, though.
Yeah, that's the question. So the fact that he didn't say that, the fact that Rabbi Elazar had to say hikri vatu, seems to imply that only if hikri vatu, where the animal no longer exists, only then do we say that we don't retroactively consider it fossil, but if it still exists in the world, apparently it would be also. The answer is, the Gemara says, Rabbi Oshia couldn't answer the question on that basis because he gufo kamei boyalai. That's exactly what Rabbi Oshia is wondering. Is it that only if she was makrivit and therefore no longer exists in the world at the time of bia, only then is it mutter? But if she was makrishet and it still exists at the time of bia, then it would be aser. Oy dilma, or maybe not. Kiven detnan amirasi lagavaya kinsirasi lahedyet. Since we say in kedushin that once you say that something belongs to Hashem, then it's the equivalent of handing it over to a hedyet. But now, in other words, it's completely out of her possession. So the same way, in other words, suppose that she had sold it to somebody else on Monday, it wouldn't necessarily be considered etnan anymore because it's not in her possession by the time Tuesday comes, and then he has beer. Right, so that's the question. He or she was makdashit, and therefore once she was makdashit, it's out of her possession. So therefore, he shot to mutter. So maybe then it would be mutter even if she was makdashit. And then we would say how much more so if she was actually makdashit. So that's what Rav Oshia is wondering.
Is there a difference between hekdash and hafa?
Well, that's the question, yeah. And the answer is teku. So therefore, the Rambam paskins, you shouldn't, if she was makdashit, but was not yet makdashit before the bia, you shouldn't be, they shouldn't accept it as a korban. But b'dieved, if they did, the Rambam usually paskins with tekus in kodshim, most of the time, what it means is, you shouldn't do it with hachila, but b'dieved, if you did the korban, because of the sopik, right. Right. Fine. Then he said, the Braisa had said, we said if it was the other way around, he had relations with her on Sunday, and then he gave her an animal on Monday, so we say that's mutter. So the question is, well, Tanya, don't we learn in a Braisa the other way around? Ba'alev and Nosanlaw, if he had relations, and later on he gave her the animal, even if he gave it to her 12 months later, Esnana also. So what is it? Is it that only if he gave it to her and it's still in her possession at the time of the bia, is it ulcer, or is it even if he gave it to her much later? There's no contradiction because the braises are talking about two different cases. One case is where he says to her, have relations with me for this particular sheep. So he's designated this particular sheep. So it becomes Esnan right there on the spot. And even if he gives it to her only later on, it still remains Osir. Had Amala, he barely leave it plus staff. The other case is where he says, have relations with me for a sheep, but he doesn't specify which particular sheep. So then, only if he gave her a sheep. So then you could say the sheep that he sends her later can just be considered a maton. When do we consider it esnan? Only if it was specifically singled out, designated at the time of being. Okay. So the question is plezeh. So what are you telling me if he says plezeh? How does that make it also, even though he designated it? V'homachutz meshicha. She hasn't yet done meshicha on it. We have it's a machlokas in Bava Metzia and in other places, whether Mashicha is required on a Daraisa level or a Darabanan level, but even if we hear Yochanan holds, and this is Alacha, that Dvar Torah Mois Koinus and only Midrabanan being in Mashicha, fine, the fact is, until she did Mashicha, it's not in her possession yet, so how can it be also, even if he said Tlezesh? That's not enough. Mashicha. Well, you need one of the various kinds of kin. Yeah.
So.
The answer is b'zoyna ozeres tichavim, but I can't even a shechah. One possibility is we can be talking about it's a goyish zoyna where goyim don't have the concept of acquiring things with mashicha. They can acquire things with kesef or shava kesef. You have, by the way, a bit of a discussion among the Rishonim, the Ritva, the Rashba, the Meiri, talk about over here what exactly is considered the object that we're selling and what's considered the kesef. Is it that the bia is what's being sold, and the tle is the equivalent of the money you're giving for it, or is it the other way around? Maybe do we say that the tle is what's being sold and the bia is what's being given in exchange for it?
Which one is the way back when,
for example, in Perek HaZahav and Bava Metzia, we talked about over there, the Mishnah talks about over there, let's say, for example, if you're exchanging, I have gold coins, you have silver coins, and we're exchanging one for the other, which one is considered the Peres and which one is considered the Mois? So here you have the same thing. You can ask which one between the bia and the sheep, which one is considered the Peres and which one is considered the Mois? And it's relevant because whichever one does the Meshicha on the Peres is the one who makes the kinyan even before the Mois chain hands.
Talk about bia. The bia is what,
right, but there's two different ways of looking at it. In other words, the Ritva talks about it, and here he talks about it. Yeah, okay, anyway. Fine. Okay, so anyway, so it makes a big difference. Is there a kinyan? Can there be a kinyan without Mashiach then? Okay. So one possibility is, again, we're talking about a goyish zayna, where therefore Mashiach is not relevant. Another possibility is you could say even that the case could work with a Jewish zayner. Suppose that the animal is standing in her chaser, kinyan chaser. So as long as it's standing in her chaser, then she's koine at the time of bia.
Even though he's not giving it to her
12 months later. Even though he only gives it to her a long time later, right? Okay. So the question is, what do you mean? It's standing in her chaser, how Yahavis lo mikra? How Yahavis lo mikra? Then here it's already a done deal. He gave it to her and it's standing in her chaser. The answer is, he put it in her chaser, but he didn't actually say, I'm giving it to you right now. He made it conditional. He made it like there's a mortgage on it. But Omar law, namely that it could be that he's telling her, if I pay you your fee in money by such and such a time, then good, then I'm taking the animal back. If not, then this sheep is your esna. If I don't give you money by such and such a date, then the sheep should be the applicant. So therefore, it can be that now it's standing. It was pre-designated and it is standing in her chaser. So therefore, to a certain degree, there is a kinyan on it, but.
But it has to be fulfilled.
But the tanai has to be fulfilled.
Now,
so
the question, can she will be matched that time?
Because it's not really hers. Yeah. Right. So it's not really her. It's not really hers until that day. So that's the point. That's right. But the point is, in other words, that's the chiddush that even then it's also because even then it's also because he said tzlezeh. And there was a degree of kinyan on it because there was a chaser. There was kinyan chaser on it. Then therefore that
was.
Yeah. Once the tanai is fulfilled, then it becomes hers. Fine. Once the tanai is fulfilled, then it becomes hers.
No. Once the tanai is fulfilled.
Okay.
But until then.
Until then, it's not really hers. Fine. But therefore she can't be makriv either. I guess it's not hers. I mean, you have other possible cases of tsnoyim as well, obviously, right? I mean, you also have, for example, he could tell her, you know, he could tell her that when I have beer with you, then l'machreya, it should be yours as of now. Well, then obviously it is hers all the time, but then that's not what the braita is talking about. We're not on law where he gave her at some later date because then already it's considered hers. But then she could be machreya because then it is. Okay, fine. Omarav. So now let's talk about the question, what exactly is considered a zoyna for the service? When do we know? We have a discussion way back in the Bombers about what the din of a zoyna is as far as who is also to record it or not. We never had a discussion as far as a zoyna relative to the din of Esnan. The din of Esnan are right here in the Chapter Tomorrow. They're mentioned, I guess, sporadically, here and there in chat. Yeah.
In
general. No, we have to define for purposes of the discussion I'm here of Esnan, what is considered. Omer Rav, Echad Esnan Zocha, Echad Esnan Kolarayas Otter. Whether it's an Esnan for a male, so a man wants to have relations with another man, and he gives him an animal, then it would also be Otter. And the same thing with any other Arayas. The same thing with any other Arayas. You actually have Gemaras in other places that mention that even Rava, I think it is, mentions in some other places in Shas, that Esnan Otter Torah through the Baal Imo. Even if you have, let's say, suppose that the zoyna that he wants to have relations with is somebody that he'd be chayav mitzvah for having relations. For example, example, it's his own mother. Nevertheless, the din of Eknon still applies. You don't say come le didavamine means that it means, for example, you're not going to he's not going to be obligated by halacha to pay the Eknon because he's chayiv nisa. But nevertheless, if he does, then it's still considered Eknon. So Eknon applies whether it's a zachar or whether it's all arayis also chutz me Eknon ishta nida. Except Rav says if a man gives his wife when she's a nida an Eknon in order to have relations with her, it's also for him to do that, but nevertheless that's not considered Eknon, and it's not also to bring up a korban. My time is zoinuk siv, v'holav zoinah, because the Pasuk describes it as Eknon zoinah, and here it's not a zoinah, she is his own wife. So it is one of the arayas, true, he's going to be chayiv kares for it, but nevertheless you can't call it, you can't call it a zoinah. Okay, that's Rav. The Levi Amar Afilu Ishta Nida. Levi says no. Actually, the din of Eknon would even apply if it's his own wife, if she's a nida. My time, why is that? Because Te'evak says. Because when the Pasuk describes, it says you're not allowed to bring Eknon Zoino Mechir Kelev, it says Kisoya Vas Hashem Alek Tefla Gam Shneim, because it's repulsive to Hashem to do any of these things. Fine, but nevertheless, Vahal Te'evak. Nevertheless, Levi says, at the end of Parashat Arayas, at the end of Parashat Achrimos, when Achri describes all the Arayas, the part, which includes Nida, because the part that mentions Nida in those Sukkot there, and then it says generically anybody who does any of these Te'evas. So Levi says, yes, she's not a Zoyna, but to have relations with her is a Te'eva, and therefore it's included. Therefore, no, for him to have relations with her with a Nida is a Te'eva. The Pasuk is including it among all the other Te'evas. And therefore, if the Torah is saying by Eknon Zoina, ki toya vas Hashem alekecha, that it's disgusting to Hashem, then it means it's come to include Ishta Nida as well.
Yeah, for
if man has relations with a woman, it was Nida, he's chayav kares. Yeah, obviously, yeah. He'd be chayav kares. She also, if she was willing, we're going to learn about that in the session. If she didn't know, then she'd sure be right. Okay, so the question is, the Levi Nami Vak Siv Zoyna. Okay, so what is Levi doing with the word Zoyna, which seems to exclude Ishtay? The answer is, Amalach, Levi will tell you, I'm not learning from Zoyna that excludes any particular case. Well, actually, I am. Amalach, ha-hi Zoyna v'loi Zoyne. He says what it means is that it only applies if she's giving it to her. But if she gives him something for Eknon, then it would be Mocha. You can have sometimes you have a woman who really wants to have relations with a particular man because he's handsome or whatever, and she offers him a gift, she offers him a fee. That would not be considered Eknon.
Is there such a concept of a man being the donor?
Well, we just said before, between two men. But in other words, that's the point. In other words, Levi is saying the fact that it says Lo Savi Eknon Zoyna means only if it's being given. From the man, but not if it's being given to the man. Okay, the Rav, so what would Rav answer to that? I.e., Zoyna v'loi Zoyne Minole, so where's Rav learning that concept from? The answer is not Nachlemid Rebbe. Rav will learn it from what Rebbe says. The Tanya Rebbe Omer, Ein Esnan also Ella Kol Esnan Abois Loi Bavera. Rebbe says Esnan is also only if it came Bavera, meaning there's no way that this man can be mutter to have relations with this woman. Aval Eknon Ishta Nida, but an Eknon for his own wife when she's a Nida, where right now he's also to have relations with her, but later on she's going to go to the mikveh and she'll be mutter. Or v'shenochon lo schar la'afka'asa, or Rebbe continues, if he gave her schar for hafka'asa, for the fact that she took off time from work, so he's not paying her for the actual beer, he's paying her for the time that she had to, schar ma'ashabitlam l'malachta, as she says. I don't know, let's say, for example, maybe you could have, let's say, paying her only for her time of traveling from point A to point B, but not for the actual beer, whatever. Okay. Or v'shenosnal, and here's the key thing, or v'shenosnal loy v'esnanoi, or the other way around, if she gave him something as esnan, then he should have relations with her. In all those cases, Rebbe says, mutarin, in all those cases, they're mutar, so therefore, that's the point. Rav does not need to learn from the word zoyna, that it means not zoyne, like Levi says. He can learn it from this that Rebbe is saying, and therefore he can say the word zoyna means only where it's by definition zoyna, namely that he's also to ever have relations with her, which is not the case with Ishta Nida. And Rebbe continues, even though there's no solid proof for that that it's not esnan if the woman gives it to the man. Zeicha the dover, but we have a zeicha here. We have a hint here in the pasuk. Because you have a pasuk in Yechezkel, the psukim in Yechezkel, you have a whole long mashal in Yechezkel. We say a few psukim of it in the Haggadah, Va'erach Alayach, Va'erach Mesoseh, V'damayach. But anyway, no, but we can derive definitions from the Vim. And here, we're not deriving the halacha. He's saying it's only a zeichah. Anyway, so Yechezkel described the whole long extended mashal of how the Jewish people were like an abandoned baby, that a benefactor comes and saves her, Va'erach Alayach, Va'erach Mesoseh, V'damayach, Va'erach Malach, V'damayach, Chayi, etc. Anyway, she grows up, she becomes a beautiful woman, and then she's Mizana with everybody around her representing the Jewish people who became this great, powerful nation in the world, and then started worshiping Avodah Zarah and doing all kinds of other things. This is the Yechezkel, gives a long bashul about it.
What's her name?
And he doesn't give her a name. He compares the Jewish people to a woman who's like that. Anyway, so the pasuk mentions. So there's a Navi criticizes the Jewish people in Hashem's name. He says, when you give an esnan, meaning in terms of nimshal, it means like the Jewish people would drive and pay tribute and whatever to various Goyish nations around them to be their allies. And also, yeah, they'd be bringing Karbanos Avodah Zarah. Anyway, so the esnan lo nitan loch, no esnan was given to you, and so it became backwards. Now, the Yechezkel was saying, at least, you know, a Zoyna had a shtickle excuse. She's doing it for the money, basically. You're not even doing it for the money. Because Adarabi, you're going and paying these other Goyish nations and these other Avodah Zarahs and whatever to worship them, and you're not getting anything even out of it. So, Batehila Hepech, we see it's called backwards. So, therefore, it's not called Esnan in that case. It's called Un-Esnan. So, that's where we learn, and then that's where we learn, but that's where we have a Zecher, that if a woman gives a man Esnan, then it's not considered. Okay. Fine.
And that carbon would be acceptable.
So therefore, and yes, so therefore he could bring another carbon in. Okay. So the question is, Rav Hai Te'eva Maya. Okay, we said before that Levi is learning from the word Te'eva, that includes Ishtei Nida. Because he says, Zoyna, he says, I'm not using that to exclude anything, because Zoyna means just not Zoyna, not if it's given to him. But he says, other than that, it includes all kinds of B.S.S.R.S. on the basis of the word Te'eva. So what is Rav doing with Te'eva? The answer is, Mibori Le Kida Baya. Rav would need the word te'eva to teach us what Abaya says. The Amar Abaya, Zoyna Oiveres Kechavim Esnana Osu. Even if the woman is a goita, then the Esnan that the Jewish man gives her is also Osu. My time, man, how do we know that? After all, on a daraisa level, there's a huge machlokas, what exactly is and isn't Osu between Jews and Goyim on a daraisa level. But, So what is it? My time. There's definitely no chiyuv misser involved with it. At most is what's called kores medivrei Kabbalah, kores on the basis of a pasuk in Neviim. So how do we know that it should be considered a zoyna and that it should be osur as esnan? Because it says here te'eva, uchtiv osem, you have at the end of the parasha of Arayas, ki kol asher yasim kol te'eva sa'el. So Rav says we're going to learn, or Abaya says, and Rav agrees with it. We're going to learn like this: Ma lahalan arayas shen kedushin tersimba. In the section in Achrimos where it finishes off with Ashit Mikolat Eivetela, they're all arayas where kedushin are not tofus with somebody close relatives. They're all various arayas that I mentioned over there. Hachinami in kedushin tersimba the same way. The word te'eva is going to teach us to include any kind of relation where kedushin would not be tofus. So since kedushin are not tofus between a Jew and between a Jewish man and a Goyish woman, therefore that's where we learn that the esnan of a Goyish zoyner is also. But not that it should include ishtei nida. Okay. Then Rav says here, or Rabbi actually says, here's another din, by the way.
If it's not te'eva, it would be okay.
If the pasuk hadn't said te'eva, now it would be okay. It wouldn't be allowed to do, but it would mean the esnan would be mutter. Because it says te'eva, that teaches us anything that's similar to the te'evas of Achemos, namely, we're in tradition types in Behen, then it becomes that, which is the case between a Jew and a Goyim. Okay, fine. Abaya says, by the way, since we're talking about a Goyish Zoyna, here's another din, the Koyin Shabalel ain't like a Leah Mishim Zoyna. Abaya says, if a Koyin were to have relations with a Goyta, then he would not be getting Malchus on the basis of having, on the grounds of having relations with a Zoyna. We know the Torah tells us by a Kohen, Isha Zoyna v'chalala lo yikahu. So Abaya is saying, relative to the dinim of a Kohen, she's not considered a Zoyna for that purpose. Hold on. My timer, why is that? To Omar Kroh lo yichalal zaru. Because the pasuk says, why is the Torah restricting who a kohen can marry and have relations with, in order that he should not be mechalal his children, that he shouldn't profane his children to make them not kohenim? Well, mishazara miyochasafra. Well, therefore, it only applies. The definition of zoyna for that purpose is only where any children that he has with this woman will be miyochas after him, meaning that they'll be considered Jewish children, and he is considered their father lahalacha. Yosa evedes chesavim de'ein zara miyochasafra. As opposed to, if a Jew has relations with a goyter, then the children from that are not considered miyochas after him, because lahalacha, they're goyim, they follow the mother. Therefore, says Abaya, the fact that it says below yisalo zaroi implies that where there's no chilul zara, then he's not getting malchus. So now,
there
may well be tayeva, but if he's not going to be chayev, he's not going to be chayev malchus for it. Okay, so that's Abaya. One more thing Abaya says, Zoni Yisraelis et nanam mutter. And one more thing Abaya says, suppose that the Zona is a Jewish woman and she's not also to the man, et nanam mutter, then the etnan would be mutter, matam, the ain't kedushin, the whole kedushin types of her, because kedushin would be toifus in her. After all, if the man wanted to marry her with chuppah of a kedushin, he would be allowed, he would be able to. So therefore, she can't be considered a zoyna as far as the dinim of etnan. But, one second, the koyin, shabar lo, lokum shem zoyna. But if, no, kedushin would still be toifus, because kedushin are toifus in b'chai b'lava. Kedushin are just not toifus when it comes to chai b'chrisus and this is basic. So kedushin are not toifus with an ashes ish, with close relatives or whatever. Kedushin would be toifus between a koyin and a zoyna, yeah. So therefore, the koyin, shabar lo, so if a koyin has relations with this Jewish zoyna, lokum shem zoyna. He will get malchus because he had relations with a zoyna. My time, it does zarem yuchas achrei. Because after all, the children have yuchas after him.
And then
they're not claiming, they're halalim, but nevertheless, that's the point, why he's getting malchus. Okay, so those are the dinim that Abaya says. So to recap then, Abaya is saying that Abaya is saying the rules of the definition of zoyna relative to Esnan and relative to the dinim of a kohen are different. When it comes to a goita, it is Esnan, but it's not a zoyna as far as the dinim of a kohen. And when it comes to a Jewish woman, it's the other way around. It's not Esnan, but it is also, but it is chayav. It is chiyuv malchus for a kohen. That's a bias. With a goita, it is Esnan, but there's no malchus for a kohen. And with a Jewish woman, because kedushin types involved. Because zare miyuchas achrev. In other words, what Abaya is saying is the key difference is like this. When it comes to Esnan, the question is, are kedushin types? Well, with a goita they're not. With a Jewish woman, they are. When it comes to, but in other words, Abaya would agree that if she was an heir to him, that if she was a close relative or an ashish or what have you, then it would be considered esnan because kedushin are not toifus with her. And on the other hand, the kohen would be getting malchus because zarei miyuchas achrev. On the other hand, when it comes to an unmarried Jewish woman, then Esnan does not apply because Kedushin are toifus, but Chilul Zera applies because she's a Zoyna. Okay. That's all Abaya. The children would be Chalalim, but they'd be Jewish and he's considered their father. Because she's a Zoyna and Isha Zoyna Chalala, lo yikach.
If he has relations with and then he marries her afterwards.
Doesn't matter, she's already a Zoyna. We're talking about where she was a Zoyna. The definition of a Zoyna for purposes of a Koyin is where she had, actually to a certain extent for the purposes of Esnan as well, is where she had relations with somebody with whom Kedushin are not Toys. That's famously, we know, unfortunately, for example, nowadays, you have Jewish women who had relations with Goyim, whether in or out of marriage, and they're also to Kohenim, even if it was rape. They're still also, you know, the famous thing, a Shvoya, for example, was also to a Kohen for that reason, too. Okay. So that's all I buy. The Rabba says, no, Echad Zeh Echad Zeh Esnan Aser. Either way, whether she's a Jewish woman or a Goyish woman, the Esnan is Aser, and also the Kohen, it is an Esnan in both cases. A Kohen, Abba'alel, Lokum Mishum Zona. And in both cases, if a Kohen has relations with her, whether she's a Goiter or whether she's a Jewish woman, either way, the Kohen is getting malchus. So not like Abaya is saying that that only one applies to each one of them. Rava says both things apply to both of them. Which Tosfos points out, by the way, there is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that mentions that the Beis Din Shel Hashmonaim made a gzera that a Jewish man has relations with a Goyish woman. He's getting malchus on four grounds, nida, shifcha, goya, zona. So Rava would have to say, according to a different version in the Gemara over there, that the fourth one is not zona, but rather eshesish, because he'd also be getting malchus. That if he was a koyan, he'd also be getting malchus on a deraita level for the zona. For my timer, why is that, says Rava? Why should both Esnan and Malchus for the Kohen apply in both cases? Because Yalfi Mahadadi. Rava says we're going to learn one from the other. We take the din that applies to one and apply it to the other one by Mama Sin. Ma Zonis Yisraelis Balav. Just like a Zonis Yisraelis, there is Balav. The Kohen is getting Malchus, and there's no question about that. Ach Zona, better to recover Balav. The same thing if she's a Goyish, a Zona, same rule. And just like the Esnan, if she's a Goyish woman, is also, and Abaye agrees to that. So Rava says, Af Esnan, Zoni Yisrael is also. So the same thing would be if she's a Jewish woman. Okay. So the Gemara says, Maisu, I have a contradiction to Abaye. A Braita says, Echad Zona Evedet Kechavim, but Echad Zoni Yisrael is Esnana also. Whether she's a Jewish woman or whether she's a Goyish, then the Esnan is also. Tzur to Abaye. So that's a contradiction to Abaye. The answer is Omalach Abaya. Abaya can answer you that Braisa is different because Homani Rabbi Kivi. So that Braisa can be according to the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Roma Ein Kedushin Toipsin B'Chai V'Lavim. We've learned that in Yomamas and here and there since then. That Rabbi Kiva has a more expansive definition of where Kedushin are not Toipsin, which also means that Rabbi Kiva has a more expansive definition of who's a Mamzer. So he says, as long as there's a chiyuv lab, as long as there's an isur lab, then kedushin aren't tofus. Well, very well then. There is an isur lab on a Jewish man having relations with a goyter. Specifically a kohen because of zayna. It's a machlokas panoyim actually. To what extent it applies to Yisrael is only if it's derechasna or whatever. Okay. Anyway. We're not saying that he could. There's definitely also on some grounds. It's definitely also on some grounds or other. There's a machlokas, there's tanoim, it's machlokas for showing him what exactly, in what cases is it also daraita, and in what cases is it also derabam. We just said based in shokash manoim made some zeres on that. So the Gemara discusses it. The Gemara has a sugya in Avodah Zarah that discusses what exactly is also on a daraita level, what exactly is also on a derabanan level. You have a machlokas tanoim in that, among other things, whether the psukim loisus chatin bam are talking only about the seven nations of Canaan, or are they talking more generally about the Goyish nations? No, I don't know. The point is that Rabbi Akiva would say in kedushin tofes in b'chai b'lavin, here there's a chiyuv lav, at least with a kohen. Therefore, that's why the Brice would be saying that Esnan is also. And in that case, what the Braitha wants to tell us, therefore, is the kol zona loytafsi b'kedushin dumia da'almana, the loytafsi b'kedushin. So in other words, the Braitha wants to tell us the definition of zona is where kedushin are not tofes, similar to an almana where kedushin are not tofes. In other words, Hagoyt Abba adds that the Braitha continues, for example, an almana l'koyin gadol and grusha v'cholot l'koyin adit. So the Braitha is trying to tell us any case where there's a lab, like an almana, which according to Rabbi Akiva, kedushin are not tofes. The halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is, for example, a kohen gadol is mekadesh an almana. The kedushin are valid. He's over on an isur malchus. But according to Rabbi Akiva, the kedushin are not chal at all. So therefore, according to that, so that b'raisa would be going according to that. Any case where kedushin are not tofes, according to Rabbi Akiva, namely where there's an isur lav, then the din of esnan applies. Very well then, so that would apply to a Goyish woman, and that because she's a Zona to a Kohen, and therefore it would apply to Eris, and then needless to say, but it would apply even to Chai V'Lavin, for example, Amon L'Kohen Gadol. Okay. Ula Rava, so the question is, according to Rava now, the question becomes, my Shnod Katonic, you're going to Amon L'Kohen Gadol? No, there's a... So far we only have two, Abaya and Rava. We're saying that Abaya would say that Bryce will be just quoted as a Kohen Gadol.
Okay.
So the question now is going to Rava, my Shnod, if Katonic is an Amon Lakon Gadol. So why is the Braith comparing it to an Amon Lakon Gadol? Rava, after all, wants to say that the Braith, according to the Chachamim, is valid according to Halacha, and that either that's because to say that whether the woman is a zoner or a Yisrael is the Esnan is also. So why the comparison to an Amana? He says because it means the comparison is like this. Dumya da Amana, the comparison to an Amana is like this. Ma Almana lo loki adimasuba, just like with an Almana. The Kohen Gadol is not getting Malkus if he has relations with her unless there was an Eidim Basra. Af Zoina ad de Omer Heva. The same way, when does what he gives the Zoina become Osir as Esnan only if he actually said, here I'm giving you the Esnan. In other words, that doesn't have to be in front of witnesses. The point is, in other words, that there was a deliberate thing. In that way she becomes a zayna. La pukim into Rabbi Lazar, which means, in other words, the Braita wants to tell us, not like the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. The Amar Rabbi Lazar, Ponoi habal apnuya shalol l'shem ishur sasal zayna. Rabbi Lazar says, any time that an unrelated man and woman have relations, even if she herself is unmarried, we would say that she's considered a zoina. So the Braisa wants to tell us that no, when is she a zoina? Only if he previously told her hey look, and thereby he's making her a zoina. But if in other words, according to Rabbi Lazar, we would say if he has relations with her, automatically he makes her a zoina, and therefore any that she receives for that would automatically make her an Esnan. So Rava says the Braisa wants to tell us that not. There has to be that she was previously a Zoyna. Rabbi Lazar is a Tana.
It's a
Tana, fine. So the Rava wants to tell us this Braisa is telling us not like Rabbi Lazar. Aval Hecha the Zoyna Meikra, but where she was a Zoyna originally, Hochinami the Osir, then indeed the Braisa would be telling us that the Esnan is Osir. So not when she was previously a Pnuya, and this is the first time, the Braisa would be saying that it's only Osir if once she's a Zoyna, which can also be by saying Haloch for the first time, and then she agrees to do it.
Haloch
means here I'm giving you this animal as Esnan. Okay, Lishnachu. Now another version of what Rava would say. Ha barayas shein kedushin tovsim lo. Tikotani ha. What is the Braisa talking about? It's talking about barayas shein kedushin tovsim lo. The Braisa is talking about arayas where kedushin aren't tovsim. We're going back to this Lishnachrina is on both Abaya and Rava. Another version of how the discussion went. So we're saying that the Braisa is talking about Arayas where in Kedushin Tovsin, and then we would say that in that case that the Esnan would be also, which would work according to Abaya. The question is, Vakasani Seifa Almana the Kohen Gadol Grusha Vachalos the Kohen Hedya Esnana also. Doesn't the Braisa continues that if it's Almana the Kohen Gadol, etc., then the Esnan is also Kedushin or Tovsin, Vahani Kedushin Tovsin then, or Kedushin Tovsin then. And the answer, so then in the first version we said this Braisa goes according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that Kedushin aren't Tovsin. In the second version, we're going to say, Homani Rabbi Lazar, we're going to say, in the second version of the Braisa goes according to Rabbi Lazar, that even if she's unmarried and is completely available to be married, then she's still considered a zayna because the relations were done shalol l'shem yishus. It was the ilasnus. Therefore, Rabbi Lazar would say, fine. So if it's an aman of a kohen gadol, etc., it's also not for the sake of marriage because it's an isulab. Yes, kedushin are tofus, but true, kedushin could have been tofus by ponui and penuya also, and still Rabbi Lazar is calling it nus. So therefore, he would say the Esnan is also the Braisa is according to that opinion. So the question is, Ira Balazar, my Iri Almana. Well, according to Rabbi Lazar, why bother mentioning the case of an Almana where there is an Isulav, Nisni Pnuya, then let it actually just say Pnuya, and we would know automatically from that. The answer is Almana Isrich. Yes, but the Chidush is, we need it to say specifically Almana, because otherwise you would think, given that we're learning the whole concept of that Esnan, according to Rava, that the whole concept of Esnan is also, We're learning it from a binyan ab, because that's what Rava was saying, that once we see that it applies with kedushin or not tofes, like with a goita, then automatically it applies to a Jewish woman as well. You would think, therefore, given that you were learning it only from a binyan ab, maybe it shouldn't be also maybe it should be also only by ponui and pnuya, but not by an almona, not by an almona lakoyin gadol, where there's an isur lav. And kedushin are choifas after all. Kamash Malan, and that's the chiddush of the Braisa, that nevertheless we would still consider an etzma.
The chiddush
is you could have thought that where kedushin are choifas, then it shouldn't apply. If it only said pnuya, you would think by pnuya there's no other issur, therefore it becomes etznan. And after all, according to Rabbi Lazar, the word zoina basically means a pnuya. Pnuya above, pnuya above, pnuya, shalom l'shem ishus asa zoina. So you would think, therefore, maybe the pasuk is only talking about a pnuya, according to Rabbi Lazar. Maybe in the case of an almana l'kohen gadol, where it's an isur lav, maybe it wouldn't be osir as that man. And therefore, the Braita tells us anything from pnuya and up, including almana l'kohen gadol, etc., is an isur lav.
He could not marry her, which is its tradition.
But that's the point. In other words, you would say if we're learning from a binyan av, from a goita, we would say therefore, so it would apply to a pnuya. That would be the primary case that we're calling zoina. We would say wherever there's an isur lav, we're not calling it zoina. We're calling it something else. It's a different category. It's called amana. It's called whatever. So maybe therefore esnan wouldn't apply, and therefore the Braita is telling us that no, anytime there's an issur in the bia, including a coin job law, even where it's ponui and a penuria, and there's no other issur other than znus, even then, so in all cases, whether there's only the issur znus or whether there's the issur znus plus something else, for example, the issur of hamanat or kain gadol, either way it's considered esnan.
So in the second version, it's absolutely not about whether kiddushin are tasting.
Right. As long as there's some kind of isser, either znus or anything higher than that, then it would be considered
etzma.
Then
etzma.
And shiba.
But that's not the halacha.
Well, the halacha is that actually the halacha is only that's only in the cases where kiddushin aren't tofes, and we don't try. Rabbi Akiva holds that's by isser lav, and the halacha is not like him either. The halacha is kiddushin are not tofes only when it comes to krisus and mitzvah basis, as well as goats. So therefore, the definition of a zoina, as far as esnan, is if she's a goita, or if she's a Jewish woman, and she's also to him by any kodesh or mitzvah basin. Let me rephrase that. If she had relations previously with anybody who is krisus or mitzvah basin, or with a goy, then she's considered a zoina. In other words, that basically the definition of zoina, as far as esnan, is basically the same as it comes out. It's basically the same as the definition of zoina as far as a kohen. So it includes a goita, it includes any woman who's previously had relations with a man that is also to her that's also to her on kodesh or mrs. Baskin, and therefore then the man himself who's having relations with her now. If he himself is also to her by kodesh or mrs. Baskin, then he himself is making her a zoina right there on the spot. And therefore, the esnan is also. But if she would have been mutter to him, then there's no esnan.
So nida would be included.
So nida is not included because the nida, first of all, kedushin are tofes. Yeah, okay, but that's an exception. Usually, that's an exception also to the rules of kedushin tofes. Kedushin are tofes with a nida.
And that's my point. And still, it's hard.
Yes, so that's an exception to the rule. Even though there's a fee of kodesh by a nigger, nevertheless, kedushin are tofes, and it's not considered
that. And is that the only exception?
That's the only exception, as far as I'm
concerned. Okay.
Okay.